Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
My name is Bert Nell, and I'm here to say I got a TV show for you to check out today.
Yo, let's go.
I would check it out.
That's the intro to the show. We're just going to use that as the intro. How's everyone doing tonight?
Sold. Someone's going to hear that and go, man, how have we not done this sooner? This is liquid gold we got going on over here.
It is.
Good old Texas gold.
We've got the full party cast crew here. Chris is here, Pernell's here, Brooke's here, and Andy is here. I know it's been a rough week for everyone.
Yeah.
It's been a kit and caboodle of one.
Today's only Tuesday, too.
Yeah, don't even get me started.
Pernell, we'll get as started as you want to get started. How about you? The floor is yours. How you holding up, first of all?
I mean, I'm holding, basically. That's about the gist of it. I mean, I don't want to stop moving. I have to keep doing what I got to do. And I've got a good support network over here. I got my brother and my nephew. And I got to be strong for my aunt, she's not taking it too well. But, you know, we're just taking it one day at a time. It almost sounds like a football game, doesn't it? Like, we just give it 110%. That's how we do it here in Cincinnati. We just give it 110%, and whatever happens, you know, we know we gave it 110%, and yeah, I could just keep doing that over and over again because that's also part of the gag.
Cincinnati?
I don't know. I started thinking about Cincinnati. That's a good city to go with. They got
that's a good sounding city to talk about sports.
I kind of thought he would have went with Baltimore.
I mean, regionally, yeah, but it just wasn't the city that came to mind first for some reason. It's just Cincinnati click. Like I said, maybe I just want a really good bowl of chili.
I got it.
Does Cincinnati have chili? I mean, does Baltimore have a good chili? One would have to wonder.
I don't know. Chili in Baltimore.
We can go find out.
I'm from Texas. My choice is locked in.
I'm not. Are we doing chili with beans or chili without beans?
Well,
that's always a hot topic too.
I mean, when I make chili, I want beans. I mean, why would you not want to have? Why would you not want to have more in your chili?
Bean guy? Gotcha.
I am very much a bean guy. Cabrini beanie. Sign me up. But yeah, I've done normal, just kidney bean chili. I've done chili with like three different types of beans. You know, cannellini beans, chili, kidney beans, and some other red bean.
No bean boozles?
My mom made a really good chili that had no onions in it. It was important for me to have anything with no onions. Our friend Mustin of the 1-Ups makes a great spaghetti sauce with no onions in it. He taught it to Ashley. So
that's good.
We're getting these no onion recipes.
Yeah,
no onion guy.
Everything's a
goop. Onions are disgusting.
Onions are disgusting. Oh my god, I can't state enough my dislike for onions. Oh, they are gross.
Oh, I agree. I'm cooked. I'm also back. I'm on my phone. I don't know what's going on with my headset. I'll try to change while y'all are in a review later, so I don't interrupt anymore. Sorry about that.
All good.
Onions. I like how 3 months ago we had an episode titled like we hate onions or something, and we're back on it.
I can't overstate it. I mean,
no matter how much we eat onions, people keep cooking with them. I don't know what the hell it's all about.
It never stops.
The terror of onions will never go away.
As long as there are onions, there's the SML podcast to decry. The onions.
I think onions are cool. I had some today.
Oh God, don't do that.
Get out. Leave.
What are you talking about?
No, I love cooked onions. Raw onions can eat it, though. I mean, don't put raw onion on my burger. I'm going to send back the burger. The raw onion has touched it. Like, I'll be able to taste it.
I know,
but I love
right?
a French onion soup. If you cook onions down like a crap load and they get really sweet, oh my goodness.
I can do onion powder.
Same.
Onion powder is good. It's got a good cooked onion flavor to it.
Yeah,
it's like the texture of biting into an onion. If I have a burger and I crunch into an onion, I gag.
Yeah.
It's just like that's wrong to me. I don't. Ugh. And then McDonald's, the flavor of their onions, they're like mega onions of hatred and despair.
I don't think those are real onions.
They made them.
Onion 2.0. The O stands for onion.
2 point onion. Nice.
Oh man, speaking of food, we're gonna talk about me winning the cake contest. What up?
Yo, congrats. Yo,
Brooke, tell us about it.
It's so crazy.
The big contest you entered, what, like a week or two ago?
Yeah, oh, I entered it like it was like a week and a half ago, I want to say, but I've been planning it for a long time. Joe was one of the first people I talked to where I was like, oh my God, I'm going to make a cake for the first game I ever reviewed for SML. This is nuts. been in the works for a while. I'm so excited.
Did awesome. You put nuts in there?
No, I did like a bunch of candy inside. So I know y'all aren't a Tomei player, so I'll go ahead and spoil Cupid Parasites Alan's plot. He's like kind of like a devil, but then they reveal that he's an angel later on. He also proposes to the main character, so like you cut into the cake and then it's supposed to be like edible glitter and a bunch of white candy and white feathers inside to symbolize his angelic nature.
Game's ruined now for me.
Well, what was inside? Was it like almonds featuring his demonic nature?
Wait, what did you say? Hold up.
He's like, wait a minute. What? No, I was saying, like, what you say, it's probably like something that represented his, like, angelic nature. It's like, but was it almonds that represented his demonic nature?
Almonds? I don't get it. I'm so sorry. I don't get the joke.
Almonds are a demonic nut.
I didn't know that. Almonds, yeah. Dang. Just the friggin' Andy over here. He likes almonds. He likes onions.
Yeah,
can you just like a food that isn't evil for once?
name more evil food. I'll probably like it.
Human flesh.
Oh, easily.
Like non-evil food challenge level impossible.
Easily.
On a griddle. I will admit, I joked about almonds being evil, but I do like almonds. I'm fine with them. Once they started doing decent seasonings to almonds, I became a fan of the almond.
I like the almonds they make taste like wasabi peas or whatever. I like the barbecue almonds. Those are great. Good.
I like the roasty, salty kind, really. I'm those pretty are good. Simple like that, but not the raw
I like
ones.
Cashews. And
I don't really want them in desserts either. They're too sharp.
You guys ever had cashews on pizza?
No.
You never had cashews on a pizza. I've had peanuts on a pizza, but not cashews.
There's a place around here that has cashews on pizza, and it's like, it's kind of nice. You know, cashews is like a very creamy nut, so
yeah,
it tastes pretty good.
That's cool. We've got like a fusion Indian pizza place here in town. It's called Extreme Pizza, and they do some crazy pizzas. Hold on, I'm going to pull up their menu.
Whoa, please. You have Extreme. I wonder if it's the chain. Extreme Pizza. Do they have the Hoisin pork one?
Yeah, that's actually what I didn't know there was a chain.
Oh what my the heck? God, I'm jealous of you. We used to have one down the street and they closed up because Wilmingtonians are fucking boring.
It sucks. That place is so good. Every pizza we've had from them is so good, even though it sounds like it would be stupid. We had one with like almonds and like not almonds, walnuts and like blue cheese on it. It's really freaking good.
So weird.
They have the pie of pie that took the freaking Hawaiian and put mandarin oranges on it.
Guys, if y'all are tuning in and you don't know us, we're on other sides of the country and we just figured out both the pizza places we like as a chain and not like one weird pizza joint that does like Swiss cheese pizza. This place is crazy.
I was just talking about Extreme Pizza 2 hours ago because I was eating pizza with friends and I was like, man, I miss Extreme Pizza. That was the best game in town, and we were too boring to keep it.
I had to look at that.
It's hoisin pork, carrot slices, peanuts. Those are the primary things on it, but it's so damn good.
God, this is making me so happy.
It's called a Extreme Pizza. Like, all right, no Extreme Pizza.
That's crazy.
It's amazing.
I'm just excited that I had Pizza Hut today. I was happy about that. That made my day.
Pizza Hut's cool. They were the first ones to have friggin' stuffed crust, I think, right? Am I making that up?
I think they were. At least on the national level.
Pizza Hut back in the 90s. And their wing streak, those Cajun wings we had, are freaking delicious.
Love their pan pizzas, the thick pan pizza. Like when you would get the personal pan pizzas when you read books in elementary school.
Yeah, book it.
Oh, that was great.
Book it.
That was the shit. They need that book it for adults.
He's in Boise.
As a child, I was in the newspaper for book it. Everybody was like, "Oh, the part out, he's so smart, he's reading a novel." I was like, "I want pizza. I don't give a crap."
You know what? I just for the fact that I think it's a fun novelty, and it was just super, super cheap. I bought the game, well, the software, 100 classic books on the DS. It's just where you read a whole bunch of like public domain
books.
Oh,
that's the one that's unrated. It does not feature an ESRB rating.
Right, yeah, because it's, you know, it's published by like HarperCollins or something. It's like not published by a video game maker. But yeah, I bought that because it was like $8 shipped and everything. And it's like, maybe that's what I'll do. I'll like read one of the 100 books and then go buy myself a personal pan pizza. Relive the glory days.
If you read a book, does that count as a game beat this year?
No, because it's not on the Switch.
Oh.
I only count the Switch games.
Damn.
Yeah, and I got to get cracking on that. Well, I'm in the middle of like a bunch of stuff, so like I'm eventually going to boost that number way up once I finish these games.
But you've still beaten quite a few games, though.
Yeah, I think I'm on 16. Well, that's more still than like, years half over.
You've
years half
more
over,
games
and I'm 10 behind.
On a game. 3 years.
More games than I've ever beaten. By far.
No, you're playing with so many games. That's impossible.
Rate, so.
Okay, yeah, sometimes I finish a book. But that's about it. Nah.
Yeah.
Like, I play actually, all these games. I never finish them. I just can't. Like, there's stories you gotta.
It was 17 games, actually, because once Super Mario Land dropped on the Nintendo Switch Online, I beat it the first day.
Oh, damn.
Nice.
I remember going bowling as a kid. I had my Game Boy with me, and I realized after you beat the game twice in a row, you could do a level select and pick any level you wanted. But I just beat the game like 9 times that day.
Jeez,
I just kept going through the last level.
And then there's no battery, so if you turn off the game, you have to do it again.
All gone. Like,
it does not save it. Yeah, it's one of the craziest things that I found out about. I have done it. I didn't beat it like 9 times, but I could play that final level.
I was bored
level.
Of bowling that day, I guess.
Yeah, I could play that final level 8 more times. It's a nice little shmup level.
Oh, Super Mario Land?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
Super Mario Land. It ends with a shmup.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
just like Kid Icarus. Spoilers.
Oh, no.
Spoilers on
another
a 40-year-old video game.
and then the Game Boy version got it right. They're like, here's this really cool dungeon where you can use all the sacred treasure. I love the Game Boy version of that game. They did a damn good job with it.
Which one? Kid Icarus?
Yeah, Missing Monsters.
Yeah,
that was
I haven't
a good
beaten
game.
That one yet. I need to, though.
That was one of the first Game Boy games I ever like bought it. With my own money.
Nice.
I bought
it still,
cool 8 points account.
I still have a cartridge of that. It was pretty good. But,
that's
but yeah,
a good
I just
topic.
Didn't finish it.
Kool-Aid points being used to buy video games. Remember that shit?
Jeez.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't. I'm like, shoot, that was back. My whole right there. Kool-Aid points and recycled cans.
Yeah. And then getting to Toys R Us and having to walk a friggin' piece of paper up to the lady. Take a piece of paper off the wall.
Yes, that was such an exciting thing. You're like, I can't wait to get my game. They go in their mysterious cage and they bring it out. Like, wow,
Got to the game jail.
I go to game jail. My house when we were cleaning up my mom's room, where I'm like 11 or so years old, and I'm lying in the bed, and I apparently had just gotten Mega Man 4. I'm like looking, I'm like lying with the box, like I got it before. I'm like excited about it. My mom took a picture of it. That's so awesome, man. Like, yes. And my bro was like, how can you tell? I was like, you tell me you don't think I can recognize the spine of Mega Man 4? Come on now. I know what I'm looking at. But yeah. Those were the shoot. Toys R Us buying games from Toys R Us was the real jam. People talk about, oh, I can get this game digitally anytime I want. Like, it ain't the same, man. That convenience ruined the anticipation.
It really did. There's something different about buying a physical version of a game. Like, I know a lot of people are getting their physical versions of Baldur's Gate this week for Xbox. Those are apparently shipping out now. And there's just something different about getting a tangible item that you get to hold and look at and flip through a booklet, listen to a CD, and look at a figure or dick around with a steelbook. Like, that kind of stuff. There's still value in that to me.
Yeah, putting your game disc in the CD player and having the thing say, this is not meant to be put in a CD player. Kiss your tweeters goodbye.
Which it's back then, garbled like, what the hell digital noise.
Which I guess as an adult, I still have no idea what a tweeter is. But, eh.
Bird.
What are you going to do?
An X now, by
tweeter
the way.
Tweeter is a bird?
Yeah.
It's like, kick your tweeter goodbye.
It's That's an what X now?
Yeah, it's an X now.
Nice. Kiss your X goodbye. That also works, but oh boy! But yeah, it's been a week of nostalgia, and old pictures, and thinking about old video games and the ones I bought, and ones I didn't buy, which also will bring up probably one of the games that gets brought up on this episode. In fact, so it'd be nice to talk about.
Is there anything that you didn't get that you've always wanted to get?
I mean, as a child,
yeah, or even just growing up.
I'll be honest with you. Looking back. Every kid has that bunch of stuff that's just like, I want that, because kids want every damn thing. But I will say, of the stuff that I really wanted, I don't think there's a thing I didn't get. Like, in the grand scheme of things, my mom busted her ass. Like, my dad and mom were like a weird pair where that they weren't like really an item or nothing, but they worked together to take care of us. So, like, my dad handled like all the hefty bills, stuff, like make sure we had food in the house and the mortgage was paid. My mom handled, you know, like, getting like things that we wanted, I guess, and taking us out to get clothing. But the getting stuff that we wanted was like probably the best aspect of her. Like, I remember being a kid, and when Super Mario Brothers 3 was all the rage, and everybody wanted it, and then everybody in our neighborhood definitely wanted it. But like, I lived in the hood, nobody had any damn money there. And my mom hit us with a bamboozle where we went to the grocery store and came home. Was like, hey, I got all these groceries in the car, help me bring them in the house. We're all running. Game and bringing all the groceries in the house and whatnot, and she's like, "Craig, you forgot one of the beds. Go back there and get it. It should be in the in the back seat." And I'm reaching around to grab. I was like, "This is a really stupidly small bag." And I picked. I was like, "Oh my god, it's Mario!" Ran up the street from the car to the house. Ran upstairs. Boy, I was locked in. Kids were coming over. I was like, "Oh, they got Mario 3 over here. Pernell Durno got Mario 3." Oh my god. That was the dream right there. Like, it was just out of nowhere. There was no, you'll get it on Christmas. But we had our Christmases and birthdays, don't get me wrong. But this one wasn't about, oh, you'll get it on Christmas and now you're waiting for Christmas. It was flat out, you weren't expecting to get a damn thing. No one told you you were getting it. But boom, she apparently realized that we would want Mario 3, and she grabbed that crap. And that's the kind of childhood I had in regards to just, like, stuff in a world where money was tight. We still somehow managed to get everything we felt like we wanted, and it was a good thing. Now, we never got to go to Disney World, but then again, the hell with Disney World. I got to go to freaking Universal Studios as an adult, and I totally understand why my parents didn't take us there. Expensive-ass park. Just shaking people down. Like, I totally get that. Like, I have
so little interest in theme parks these days. As a kid, I thought they were the coolest thing in the world. As an adult, I'm like, they're fucking expensive. They're crowded. There's screaming children everywhere. The food sucks. There's lines. Sodas are just ungodly expensive. Like, I guess
like $70.
I outgrew theme parks.
Like, if I, don't get me wrong, if I could go to a theme park for a reasonable price and lines were moderated, oh, it'd be great. Like, to give you an example, when we went to Universal Studios, my friend got me on one of those express passes. And I was like, I'm not paying extra money for an express pass. So they bought it for me and said, you'll see why the express pass is important. And sure enough, when you have an express pass, the lines are a fraction of the time. You get in, you get out. You know, we got to write multiple things in the course of a day. And nice. At the end, they were like, so what'd you think of? Did you have a great time? I'm like, I thought it was cool. But I think this whole needing to buy an express pass thing is BS. It basically creates a class system in the amusement park. And I'm not digging that. Like, I would never do this again. I'm glad I got to experience it, but no, I'm not doing this again. Like, walking by all the pores and going, don't you wish you had $500 for a ticket? And I get to ride a roller coaster. Like, it's stupid. It's freaking stupid. But yeah, if I had that ability to have that kind of experience at an amusement park in this day and age without having to blow a freaking mint on it, I think they'd still hold up. They'd still be great. But unfortunately, we have so many people that want to experience it in the course of a day and not enough rides to spread the wealth. So, womp a womp.
You're close enough that you might know of it. Have you ever been to Knoebels Grove?
I've never even heard of Knoebels Grove. Where is that at?
It's like 20 minutes from my house. It's free to enter. They have free attractions. There's like no parking fee. All you do is pay for rides for tickets if you want and like buy food and games. There's no admission to get in. It's really cool. It's the wrestler Mick Foley loves the place and he shows up like once a year.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, it's a really cool park. You should look into it. I like
the sound of free too. Makes me wonder how they make their money though. If it's free, I guess they sell food and like clothes and stuff.
Yeah, they charge for everything else, obviously. It's just the actual, there's no admission to get into the park. Just get to go and walk around. Like some people bring their pets to walk around. They have picnic tables so you could have barbecues, gazebos so you could have family functions. It's a really cool place.
When you think about it, that's probably the better way to go about it anyway, at least from the consumer's perspective, maybe not from the park's perspective, but being able to just go in there and just decide, okay, that ride's worth my money. That ride's worth my money and my time. And you feel like everything you did, you got your money's worth. Now, I guess if I knew how much each ride costs, maybe eventually it might be a tap off point where, like, okay, Great Adventure is like 45, 50 bucks, though. It might be different now. Back in the day, Great Adventure was 35 bucks a ticket. But if four rides cost 50 bucks, and I'm like, now I wonder, where's the trade-off?
I have no clue what their prices are. I want to say a roller coaster might be like $3 or $4 to ride, or they sell hand stamps and wristbands that you get all day rides, except for like two or three rides that you still have to pay for. Yeah.
Oh, wow. See, that place sounds awesome.
They have a pool, go swimming. If you're okay swimming in public pee.
Yeah, yeah.
You beat me to about say pissing in the pool now. Uh-huh. You know, somebody's kid or somebody's parent is pissing.
Sign me up.
Just straight up piss. Hey, what's going on? Nothing much. Just urinating.
Fine. It's all sterile.
Barry's like, I'm the one urinating.
All sterile. Anyway, it's not all from me. A little bit might have leaked out.
A little might have leaked out.
I'm contributing. Jeez, let me contribute.
Couple of dribbles. It's nothing
couple
big.
Couple of dribs.
Talking about eating things. Andy, I gotta bring it up to you. Bean Boozled. You're a fan of those, aren't you?
It depends on the day, and it depends on which one I've consumed. Yeah. Are you? What's your hot take on Bean Boozled?
I will never in my life try a Bean Boozled because I don't want to have like a cat piss flavored jelly bean.
Oh, they're not that bad. It's not.
How can you be a fan of them?
It's like,
tastes like fish, grass fish or like or something. Fish oil. What fish oil you said?
Hold on. I got it right in front of me right now. I got the sixth edition Bean Boozled. Do you want to hear the good ones or the bad ones?
Both.
Okay, I got it's either peach or barf.
Oh, God. I got
Tutti Frutti or Stinky Socks. Pomegranate or Old Bandage. Toasted Marshmallow or Stink Bug.
That's awful.
Cappuccino or liver and onions, which is god awful. That one's probably one of the worst.
See, my thing is that liver and onions. I can go down to the corner store and buy a bag of Dr. Pepper jelly beans, and they all taste like Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, but but you can't be Bean Boozled that way. You know what you're getting.
Yeah, we got buttered popcorn or rotten egg.
Oh, that one's so mean. I love buttered popcorn. Burger,
dead fish or strawberry banana smoothie. The best one, though, this is the best one, is berry blue or toothpaste. Either way, you're making out okay. Yeah, so they're not
fun
all
fact,
bad.
By the way,
some good ones.
Fun fact, by the way, vomit or barf is actually a failed pizza jelly bean that they decided to turn into that.
Really?
It is. It is 100%. I learned about that the other day too.
Wow.
Firsthand.
like this when thing, I think about buy this, like yeah, they will.
Oops. When I think about a failed pizza that got turned into barf, it just makes me think of the old Earthbound ads with the sticker, you know, with the scratch and sniff. Yeah.
Remember those? Do you want to get a whiff of what master barf smells like? You can.
Blue raspberry or like a literal blue paintball. You could have that one. Be like cherry or magma.
Ooh, magma sounds good.
Magma would be like basically be a ghost pepper one.
Spicy.
Like ghost pepper jelly bean magma. There you go. Your friends
are going to buy some gummy bears.
I want to tell my my most underappreciated joke, because I said it on Twitter and nobody liked it. But somebody was like showing like some CDs they dug up from like a box or something, and they had like this CDR said Magma on it. I guess it was a band. But it was just a CDR said Magma, and my comment was, man, that's a pretty intense way to burn a CD.
Nice.
Magma.
Thank you all for appreciating
Magma,
my
like
joke
some audio
much
software.
After the fact.
I like it.
Huh?
Thank you for sharing.
I'm trying to think. Wasn't Magma like some kind of audio software or video? Or?
I don't know. That sounds like something that was probably around before I knew how to do audio.
Is an intense way to burn them. Oh, gee. Chris, your wit knows
I liked
no bounds.
It.
I loved it.
It's a good joke.
It is.
It made me smile.
So is there anything else anyone wanted to chat about tonight, or should we slide into the handful of reviews that we've got tonight?
Flip and slide.
Yes, we should. I can't believe I didn't request Foot Clinic Smelly Edition. I'm taking a look at it in the eShop. It looks terrible.
God, freaking an eShop.
What was the name of that again?
Foot Clinic Smelly Edition.
I guess I'm looking that up after the show.
It's from Cubic. You'll probably get it. I don't really want to review it, though.
Well, yeah, bad news for you, buddy.
Too late now.
Yeah.
You named it, you shame it.
The danger.
I like it. Well, it's like a thing where you remove like different things from feet in order to
onions.
Progress. And one of those things is Legos.
Oh.
Ow.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's very real.
There was a hardcore wrestling tournament this past weekend that me and some friends watched. It was like all this gnarly shit, like barbed wire boards, flaming tables, light tubes, gigantic bundles of light tubes all at once, getting dropped into shattered glass, through glass panes. The worst for me was the dude who went barefoot into Legos.
Oof.
Barefoot slammed into Legos and then Ouch. Fell back onto his back onto Lego. Oh, that sounds awful.
Wasn't there like some forks or something too? Am I thinking something?
Yeah, there's always forks.
There's always,
always forks.
But Legos.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Seriously, tell you what, if you can get me Rocket Knight Adventures Resparked, I'll do the smelly foot clinic thing.
Oh, you're going to have to fight Andy for that one.
Well, then give Andy the foot clinic smelly edition one.
Andy's like, I never brought up this foot clinic game. Don't let me into your sick games.
Yeah, I don't want the foot clinic game, but I'll play it, I guess, you know. If you guys are forced, like, for right, you know, I guess I'll do it. You
I'll
know?
Do the foot clinic, I guess.
I'll do the foot thing.
No, I'm not going to request that. It's okay. Don't worry.
don't keep tempting me and then not delivering.
I think I delivered on this first one, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You definitely did.
Definitely. I think this first one sounds pretty good. Let's get to these. First game to talk about tonight is a preview of 33 Immortals Beta. Developed and published by Thunder Lotus. Coming soon to Series X and S and PC. 33 Immortals is a co-op action roguelike for 33 players, plays a damned soul, and rebel against God's final judgment, pick up and raid, cooperate to survive hordes of monsters, defeat massive bosses, and face the wrath of God in a fight for your eternal life. Andy, tell us about your time with the beta.
So, 33 Immortals by Thunder Lotus Games plays to both the roguelike aspects of games like, I would say, Hades and Enter the Gungeon, while also introducing the heavy co-op reliance of World of Warcraft or Diablo. But honestly, comparing it does it a disservice, as it kind of stands on its own and creates a really cool atmosphere that is both like familiar and innovative. So players are thrust into a world that blends the art of He-Man, Masters of the Universe, with Dante's Divine Comedy. Winged beasts, slug creatures, and weapon-wielding demons roam the wasteland, hell-bent on ending you and your party's advances towards transcendence beyond the realm. As part of the 33, you'll wield one of four main weapons in order to hold back the hordes, either a bow, a sword, a set of daggers, or a magical staff. Each one has their own kind of damage style and its own team-based attack, too. I went with the bow mostly. I tried the other weapons out as well, and this sword has kind of an interesting deflect to it. The daggers are quick, but also has kind of like a jump dash attack, which kind of threw me off a little bit. And I just wasn't interested in the magical staff, so I didn't play with that one very much. But each one is pretty cool. Hacking and slashing through enemies rewards each player with what is known as dust, or like it's almost like an experience. So this can be collected and used to upgrade the health, attack, or empathy. The empathy, which powers the team triggered ultimate. You basically, for that, you get together with the other players and create these circles that you can all like create like a mega attack almost. It's really cool. Other items such as artifacts, which are found inside breakable objects or treasure chests, as well as perks that are equipped before entering a run, can also upgrade stat points, critical hit chances, and give your character an overall boost to themselves or those around you. Breakable objects and chests also contain crystal shards, bones, and relics. I don't know if you guys have ever seen I Think You Should Leave. But the entire time I was playing it, I was thinking one of the skits where he's like singing about bones are the money, you know. If you guys know it, it's awesome. But if you don't know it, then I'm just talking out of my butt right now. Sorry. So, all good. He's just like, bones are the money, so are the worms. And so I was just like singing that the whole time. Anyway, bones, which are used as in-level currency, you buy back health, keys, or warp stones. And relics, which can be collected to increase player stats or create some type of magical effect based on the character movement. Goal ultimately is to work together to close down a number of these chambers, which appear across the map. They kind of appear randomly too in areas too. So you need to close. I think when I was playing it, it was like 8. Once you do that, you head back to this magical circle. It's like an ascension circle. You fight hordes of enemies, and then you fight a huge endgame boss too. So lots of fighting on top of fighting on top of fighting. The caveat to the chambers is that while you all need to work together, generally, you know, it's kind of like alone you suffer and together you succeed. Only 6 players are allowed inside at a time. The gameplay kind of turns from like a co-op to a little more competitive as you know, whoever gets there first, like, can kind of reap the rewards. Each chamber contains more enemies and enough experience or dust to level up. Also a chest or two. There's another chest which you can also get if you kind of prepped pre-entrance to the chamber. So bought a key or found a key in like a chest or something. Warp stones in this kind of situation, which can be bought with bones, became like really, really awesome, really reliable, because you can use them to warp to any other player on the map. So every time I saw a new chamber open up, I bought a warp stone if I didn't have one and tried to warp to the closest player to that chamber, which was very cool. Very cool. You can kind of go chamber to chamber that way. Should you fall in battle, one of the other players around you can revive you. You also appear on the map as like a little symbol that needs to be revived too. That was kind of cool. Back in the main hub, where you start off everything, you are greeted by a few familiar faces as well. Dante, the poet, who allows you to equip and upgrade perks with crystal shards. Charon, I don't know how you say that name. I've never known how you say that name. Who offers new clothing and weapon cosmetics. Beatrice, who guides you through trials and techniques. So kind of gives you like the rundown on different weapons and like the advanced gameplay behind it. And a scholar, too, who has a compendium that tracks every little detail from monsters, their attacks. It even had like the different attacks that the main boss has as well, which was really cool. And what happens if you don't, you know, like end that attack phase before it does do the attack. I thought that was pretty neat. But there's a lot going on in 33 Immortals. It's a really cool game. It's actually a pretty quick pick up play. There was only a couple buttons to play too. Simple controls, simple objectives. You know, you run around, you fight enemies, you level up, and then you fight an end game boss. You know, really cool co-op play as well. Whether you have friends or not, I jumped in by myself a lot of times. Joe, you were in there watching me a little bit as well.
Yeah.
And unfortunately the closed beta is over, but I did give them my feedback as to a couple of things, which included, you could only bring, from what I saw, like three of your friends in, and, I thought it might be cool if they incorporate, you know, kind of like your own, private rooms where you could have all your friends join in, you know, you could all go on an adventure together. The attacks with the weapons felt a little bit slow, and the dodges felt a little like not really clunky, but maybe I would describe it as slow as well. You know, the recharge rate was kind of lackluster, you know. So I played mostly the first zone, because the one time I played the second zone, there was nobody in there, which kind of sucked. So I ended up fighting monsters. I mean, monsters are like pretty hard, so you gotta have at least two or three people to take just like a regular enemy down, you know, unless you're doing like the attack and run back kind of thing, you know, constantly. But overall, I thought it was really fun. I'm glad you got me the closed beta. That was super badass of you, man. I really appreciate that.
I'm curious, the big battles, do they kind of play like MMO situations where you have like tanks and healers, or is it just a free-for-all frenzy to kill that guy?
Pretty much every battle, like there's no players that really seemed different, if I were to say that. Like everybody's an attacker. Everyone that's playing is an attacker. So even once you get in there, I just thought of another thing that I kind of found annoying. But once you get into the last boss battle, the dude's got like eight health bars and multiple phases of just kicking your butt the whole time. There's not really a chance to heal. A few characters have like kind of like defense attacks, you know, or defense perks on them. But for the most part, yeah, I mean, you're going in, and whatever health you have, you know, is what you get until the end, or you lose, you know. So that was kind of interesting, kind of frustrating. The closest I got was I found a good group of people, had a really good run, you know. It was towards the end of the beta test, and you know, everybody was just kicking butt, but we got the last boss maybe like halfway down, you know, through all his phases. So before we all died. But so it's tough. It's a hard game for sure, you know?
Well, is it something that people should be keeping their eyes on? We don't have a release date or a price yet, so we can't really make a determination on if the game's worth picking up. But we can wish list it on Xbox and on the Epic Store. Should people throw this baby on their wish list? Should people be a little hesitant and keep their eyes on it, or should people stay away? What are your thoughts on this one?
No, I think it's really cool that they're doing all these, like, they did like the alpha and the beta and the closed beta too, to kind of test certain aspects of it out. It's a game that's like a very much, it kind of hits a lot of boxes, you know. It's got the roguelike elements to it too. It's got some good co-op to it. And for somebody like me who has kids and sometimes just wants to like play a round of something, you know,
yeah,
20 minutes or, you know, 45 minutes before they get out of school or whatever. It's a good game to just kind of jump in, you know, play around on and then pop out, you know. I think they're doing a lot of really cool things with it too. The massive multiplayer aspect is really neat. I'm interested to see what they do after this closed beta. You know, it seems like from the last one to this one, they've made some improvements. So hopefully they make a couple improvements, but yeah, I would definitely throw it on your wish list if this kind of checks those boxes for you too.
What would you like to see in the finished product?
Like I was saying, I would like private rooms. I think it'd be really cool. Like if I had a couple more friends, you know, the four of us could all go in. But if I could have, you know, 32 of my friends all jump into the game and it's ooh, all
look
of
at
us
Mr.
at the
Popular
same time.
Over here.
if I had that, dude, I know, right? Well, that was kind of one of the things I was thinking of, too, is like, especially on this show, you know, we've got more than four people. If we could have everybody jump in and, yeah, you know, one of these nights we do a game night or something like that, you know, that would be really fun. There was a few things that kind of got at me, you know, like the health is hard to come by, you know, sometimes. Enemies are really hard, you know, even if you've got a lot of perks to it, too. And the end game boss is just insane. So maybe like nerf a couple of things, give some kind of control over a private room or something to that degree. Hopefully more weapon options, more perk options, those kind of things to make the gameplay a little more interesting and exciting. I think that'd be cool. I think it'd make the game, you know, a lot better too.
Very cool. Sounds good. All right, Andy, that is it for you. Thank you so much for coming on, hanging out with us.
Thank you. It's been fun.
I appreciate that we now have sound clips of you saying really hard and creamy nut. So
those... Wow. No. You think about that?
Oh, no. You've probably been thinking about this the whole time,
too. Oh, it's been on
entrapment.
My mind, yeah. Yeah.
Entrapment.
No.
You're welcome.
And I like onions, too. I'm the only one.
You sick bastard.
Ooh. You sick bastard.
Sick.
So you had it coming, is what I'm hearing. You deserved it.
It's true. Use those only for evil, if you could. That'd be great.
Okay. I'll do.
Awesome. I appreciate you guys. You're all awesome.
Do you have any final words before you head
even
out?
Even me?
Even you. Even you. Even me. I keep saying it. I hope we can all play a game together here one day. I think that'd be really badass. And
we really do have to organize a game night. That would be cool as shit.
Let's make it happen.
Let's make a Jackbox night happen.
Yeah, that's my only desire. Like, have Joe stream it from his screen, and then everybody's just yelling. It'd be sweet.
That'd be fun.
So I'm saying
yelling.
We're all about yelling in here.
We love it.
Yeah,
on
that's
that
all
note,
I want.
Good night, Andy.
Yeah, yeah. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I don't do anything I want to do.
All right.
Peace.
Then do everything that you wouldn't do.
Give us one thing you wouldn't do. Crap, he's gone.
He's gone. Well, let's do it all. Time. Let's do it all.
All right, I'm going to get started.
I'm going to wear stripes being fat.
What do you want to know?
Came back. One thing that you wouldn't do.
I heard you guys request me. I came back for another review. I'm just kidding. I'm not calling it.
Well, what wouldn't you do? Give us one thing so we can do it. I mean, so we can not do it once you're gone.
Don't eat onions.
Wow.
I don't know. My my list of things that I want to do isn't very long.
All right, well, you're going to have to sit here.
Don't glue your eyelids shut.
That's a good one. I'll take that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's probably the best one. Yeah. Don't do that, guys.
All right. All right.
Bye.
Bye. Next game to talk about is Venture to the Vile, developed by Studio Cut to Bits, published by Anaplex Incorporated. Released May 22nd on Steam for $24.99. Dive into the strange town of Rainybrook, taken over by the Vile in this 2.5D Metroidvania. Fight your way through treacherous terrains and defeat formidable bosses to absorb their powers. Will you save this town and find your missing friend Ella, or will you give in to the monster that you've become? Purnell, tell us about Venture to the Vile.
Venture to the Vile is really weird, man. But at its core, it is a exploration platformer adventure title. Lots of fun. Where you already described the meat and potatoes of the description, but you play as Vincent, who after a very weird incident, find yourself living in the town of Rainybrook as it is being accosted by a sinister product called the Vile, which is kind of corrupting anything it touches, whether it be a person or the landscape for that matter. And amidst all this, you yourself has been infected by it as well, but you're saved by a resident doctor in your home, in the hometown doctor. And the rescue places you in a state where you're kind of infused with the issue, basically the vial that is corrupting everything else. It's also a got you, but you're able to control who you've become despite that, which has lended to you a number of abilities, which lends itself to this type of game, putting you against the world as you try to figure things out and save the day. You're exploring the map, and the map consists of sections that all represent the area either of or surrounding Rainybrook. There's actually a day and night and weather system in this game, which I didn't realize at first. I thought it was like event-based, and then boom, nope, it actually does cycle through. And there are things, collectibles, for example, or NPCs, that will only appear in certain areas at certain times on certain others during the day or at night. So you need to be mindful of that as you're exploring. And if you find something that's like a night bloom, for example, you might need to come back and crack it open at night. So it's things like that, for example. The repertoire of your character is pretty basic at the start. You have your melee attack, which is a 3. Also, I realized I heard measly is actually pronounced melee, which I will never call it that. But anyway, melee attack, where you have like a 3-hit combo you can perform. You have your basic jump, and you have a parry option. And parrying in this game is extremely important, because when you do a parry and you hit the guy as a result of that, it does significantly more damage than if you just hit them with your regular attack. And there are certain enemies that will take forever to kill unless you bother with doing this. Once you defeat enemies, you'll get like essence from them, and sometimes you'll also get various monster parts, and those parts can be used to upgrade your character in the mutations menu once you've unlocked it. You basically upgrade various aspects of your body. So the more more abilities you earn by defeating bosses, the more areas of your body you'll be able to upgrade with spending these resources. You might be able to increase your attack power or increase like the height of your jumps, stuff like that. So definitely worth investigating and worth diving into as you progress forward. The world itself as you explore it is pretty cool too, because this does that thing where it's very rare when games do this, but where the map is broken off into various planes. So instead of just walking from left to right, you're walking left to right, eventually finding a area where you can go into the foreground or into the background. And then now you're doing more left to right, going further to the background and so on and so forth. And what this offers is it adds a lot of potential complexity to some of the mazes in the game. And it also just kind of expands the area you're exploring as a whole. One screen is actually 3 screens, for example, or 5 screens in the right area. So you're just getting more bang for your buck. And I feel like I said, solving mazes is a little bit more interesting in this game. Doubly so since the actual in-game map is kind of crappy. So you're not going to be mapping, you know, going from here to there, get you there. It's more like, you're in this region, how many collectibles have you found? Because that's all I'm using it for the most part. But it's honestly a pretty good time. Graphically, it's nothing to write home about, but I'm also playing on the Steam Deck, so maybe it'll look better on a gussied up PC. But it looks well enough that I'm not really complaining about it either. It gets the job done.
I like the game's atmosphere and the art style they're putting out for it. The idea behind these animal masks on the individuals in the game throws me for a loop, though. I keep expecting to see one human that doesn't wear a mask. And then you don't. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. So, it's an interesting, weird vibe that you will get used to, but it threw me off when I first started playing it, too. As with any Metroid-type game, or Metroidvania-type game, yeah, I said it. What are you going to do? Big whoop. You can upgrade your health capacity by using a special item at Dr. Crow's lab, Dr. Crow being the doctor who rescues you at the beginning of the game. And there's also tonics that kind of work sort of like Estus Flask in a Dark Souls game, where you can drink one and get some of your health back. You can get more of those by visiting a place in town, too. However, you can't refill them unless you stop at a tent while you're out and about on the road. And the tents work in a way similar to like a bonfire in a Souls game, where stopping at the bonfire will heal you of all your health and flask, but it will also respawn all the enemies on the map. So be ready for that action. Could make for a good way to grind for some essence, though. If you come near an enemy that's really good for producing the goods, you can just keep respawning them over and over again. So that's kind of nice. But I find this game to be pretty nice. I didn't hear of it. I didn't know about it before. It was a big surprise for me. But getting into it, everything about it has been pretty solid to me. Some of the controls can take a little getting used to in regards to the three-hit combos you can do, because I don't know, it's hard to describe how it is, but how some enemies will get pushed off just enough from the three-hit combo that it's hard to realign yourself to start whacking them again. But for the most part, I had a great time with this game, and it could be a surprise for a lot of people because, again, I can't speak for everybody else, but I hadn't really heard of this game until I just stumbled across it and this review popped up. So I feel like, in the end, Joe can say his thing he wants to say.
Well, it's $24.99. If people are on the fence, there is a demo you could download on Steam to check it out. But for the people who got the money to burn, is $25 worth it?
I think so for this game. You get a decent amount of time in your experience as well. Good time, good fun. Get it to it.
Well, Beans, next up, Kitty 64, developed and published by Origami Hero Games, released June 3rd on the Switch for $4.99. The stars are falling and something strange is happening to the moon. Something's definitely going on. Only little Kitty can save Kitty Island and maybe even the whole world. Chris, tell us about your time with Kitty 64.
Okay, so Kitty 64, like, it was so hard to Google this one, to like get any information, because there's like, I guess, a game called Kitty Kart 64 that like YouTubers play. Like, it's not really a game that regular people play, but I guess it, yeah, it's just one of those things that YouTubers mine for content. Anyways, so yeah, actually though, there is not a lot of information about this game. It's made by Origami Hero Games, whom I checked out. It's actually one guy in Austria. So shout outs to him for making several games just all by himself. This actually is the latest in a series of games starring Kitty with an E. It's K-I-T-T-E-Y, if you're wanting to know. But yeah, I noticed Heart Chain Kitty and Heart Chain Kitty All Screwed Up are a couple of other games that star this same character. So yeah, I guess this is a story in progress, as it were. It's a little abstract, for sure. It all takes place in a 3D world that's, it's hard to describe because, like I said, I would almost say it's got a Toe Jam and Earl style vibe to it, you know, where it's like, just kind of islands floating around in space. Only in this case, they're connected by, like, these kind of blobs of water that I guess are, like, bodies of water. So your character is Kitty. He lives in a techno apartment for cats, which he complains about, and it's kind of a joke that I think goes over my head. He has a little robot companion, which is, I don't know, it's a little TV with a helicopter on it, and a little character that is obviously sitting in a room with a camera pointed at them, and it's, you know, displaying on the little TV. And this character is called Glasses, and I guess it's some kind of inventor that invents things for Kitty. Well, what Glasses has invented for Kitty in this game is called the Bubble Booster. So as you're running around in this world, if you press one of the, ZL or Y, or I'm sure there's another button too, you can run and jump, but yeah, if you push those buttons, then the kitty is suddenly walking around in a bubble, and it's kind of like, it's kind of got like a little bit of a unicycle effect, right? It's just, you're just kind of rolling along on it, and if you do, then you can kind of float around in water and like move forward in it, and you use it to like bash enemies. You kind of just bash the bubble into them, and it bashes buttons, which lets you access different parts of the stage. Like I said, you can kind of roll around on water and then kind of in water. It's just kind of, I guess it's your way of like accessing the physics of the game, essentially. Of course, the thing about it is that it perpetually has to move forward; otherwise, it just goes away. So that's kind of the challenge of the game, is to get through these 3D platforming sections. That, like I said, they're just kind of interlocked islands. With this whole abstraction thing going on. The scene is perpetually nighttime because apparently the stars are falling out of the sky and the moon has turned into has grown one big giant eyeball and is bleeding. So that's your the issue. It says that according to Glasses, the world is facing imminent destruction unless you can gather up all the stars or all the diamonds or some kind of gizmos. There's numbers on the bottom of the screen to show you how many things you've collected. I guess the point of the game is to just go around. It's basically a collect-a-thon. You try to collect all the little diamond thingies. Occasionally, you will fight a boss. And, of course, bosses are generally beaten through clever use of your bubble booster. I'm told that later in the game, the bubble booster has even more uses. I haven't gotten all the way to the end of this game yet, but it's like, it's kind of a cool, like I said, I enjoy an abstract game. I mean, I don't name drop Toe Jam and Earl lightly, unless I appreciate, to some degree what's going on. The humor is definitely interesting and not entirely based in English, that's for sure. I like the characters. I like the action. So one thing about this game that's pretty interesting is that they kind of sell you on the idea of turning the game into pixelated mode, which allows for 60 FPS. So the game kind of plods along like any $5 3D game will, because it has lots of polygons and it has to run them, and it kind of runs them at a pretty low frame rate compared to like a Mario Odyssey or whatever. I don't blame anybody for that. It's hard to make a Mario Odyssey, especially for one person. So what you're given is the option to scale back the display style to, there's actually a lot of different display styles, including one that's like low res. There's a couple of pixelated versions. They kind of look like filters that like make the game just kind of look a little messier. Because like I said, they're more pixelated-y. They've got a little bit more of that Nintendo 64 style texture. And I don't mean trying to look like N64 because it has crude textures. I mean it like pixels are kind of undefined if you look too close at them, It really... Now, the trade-off there is that the game runs silky smooth, and that's actually what I like. I actually have been running this in Pixel A for the whole time I've been playing it, and I've rather enjoyed that. I don't think the game looks bad under any of the... Even the low-res mode doesn't look bad. It's just, like I said, it's an interesting idea that they give you that trade-off. The other one is that the game is super forgiving. You will never, ever, ever lose progress. that is to say, if you fall off the edge of a cliff, you just immediately, go back to the last place where you were. If you picked up any kind of diamonds, goodies, knickknacks, defeated an enemy or something like that, all that progress is perpetually saving. So, it's not a game that you have to like really frustrate yourself to like collect things over and over again. Once you collect it, it's collected. You just have to worry about getting back to where you were physically, which is just fine for me. So I like that. Like I said, it's a game that does not try too hard to be like hardcore or anything like that. This really just looks like one person's having fun, making games that are pretty fun. And I appreciate that.
What more do you need, really?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a $5 game, and if you buy it before the 17th, it's $4. What do you think of that?
I'd say, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and check this one out. You know, like, I don't really have a comment on the price. I mean, you know, again, $5 for a 3D game almost sounds like a bad thing. So it's kind of like, you know, giving it a fuck it, why not, feels counterproductive, because it's like, well, you don't want to say fuck it, why not, to, you know, any 3D game that's like $5, because yeah, that's cheap, but you know what you're going to get. No, I think this game was actually made with like some care and consideration, and at the very least, it's very aware of like being more on the budget side. So yeah, if you're just looking for some quick fun, maybe just like I said, some weirdo adventure, you know, to go on, maybe some YouTube streamer content, who knows? Yeah, I'd consider picking this one up, maybe even check out those other kiddie games. Cool. But yeah, I like where this game's head, where its heart is at.
Very cool. Another heart that I have to thank is Victor's Pure Heart, who just donated 100 biddies. Thank you so much, Pat, for coming by. Always love having you here. Thank you for the biddies.
God bless you, sir.
Anyway, we got one final game to talk about tonight. That is called City Connection, developed and published by Jellico. Arcade Archives version released by Hamster on the Switch for $7.99. The NES version is available on Nintendo Switch Online Service. Up into your beloved Clarice car and chase patrol cars on highways around the world. City Connection is an action game that was released from Jellico in 1985. Girl Clarice drives Clarice car and runs around the world in search of the ideal of man. For now, tell us about City Connection.
Is that what they really say?
That sounds like a Jellico. Archives.
Yeah, that sounds like a Jellico description to me.
Holy freaking cow. There's a more to this game than I thought. So, City Connection is a game that has been a part of my life for a very, very long time. It's one of the very few video games I was able to get my mom to play into this till her dying breath. She was still like, hey, you know, I wish I could play City Connection on my cell phone. Unfortunately, we couldn't do that, but you can play it on a Nintendo Switch. City Connection is a pretty light game that I used to suck at until I realized how you could jump continents. But the idea behind the game is that you start out in New York City, and you're pretty much driving your car, you're driving Clarice, around the area. The area consists of a wraparound screen, and there's like various platforms you can jump on that are meant to represent highways. And as you drive across these road structures, you will paint them in with the color, or with a different color, like mostly blues. Different areas will give you different colors, though. And eventually, your goal is to just drive over every stretch of highway in that area, and then move on to the next stage. There are a number of obstacles that will get in your way as you try to do this, though, such as police officers for that region, cats, spikes in the road. But the way that you can get around these things a lot of times is you'll find oil cans also scattered throughout the levels on the ground. Once you pick them up, you can throw the oil can at a car and cause it to spin out of control. If you bump into the car while spinning out of control, you'll send it flying and knocking off any other cars that you've also hit with oil to make them spin out. So you can't, like, say, hit one guy with an oil can and then chain them into three cars that haven't been hit, because they won't go anywhere. You got to have them all spinning before they get knocked out for a combo. At the end of a level, you'll move on to the next area, and you'll do it all over again. Though, strangely enough, I swear, as a kid playing on Nintendo, I remember changing continents just by grabbing the balloon, but playing the Arcade Archives version, that wasn't happening. I only moved on to another level after I filled the entire roadway in. And I tried to check the Nintendo Switch Online, but Nintendo Switch Online is down right now until further notice. So I'm going off my gut.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. What a joke. But there are multiple areas you can go to visit, and they all have like different police car designs and the like, and their road structures look a little different. Think of like Ms. Pac-Man mazes, how different areas the maze was shaped differently, but you were technically still playing Ms. Pac-Man. Same vibe here. And for me, honestly, this is nostalgia talking, which is partly why I was hoping to do this on the show tonight. I honestly do like the game. I think it's still fun to play, too, knowing that I'm treating it like a classic arcade game. It's very simplistic and easy to get into, but it's also challenging in the sense that it can get very easy to get overwhelmed, especially once cats start popping up in inconvenient locations on the map, because they're unaffected by oil cans. So if you see a cat, you literally have to either jump over it or double back, because that bad boy ain't moving. So it's, I honestly find it to be a fun game. I will still play it. I bought it on Hamster Archives. I will play it on Nintendo Switch Online. And I'll be doing a lot of playing the game in honor of the memory of my mom. That's one of the things I know she liked. I will continue to play City Connection. I would say and beat her highest score, but I was always better than mom at City Connection. Ah. Ha! Fucker! I was better.
That's very sweet.
but I will continue to play this fun, and in my opinion, also fairly underappreciated game. And I feel like you guys should play it too at some point. Just give it a try.
Oh, I played City Connection. Yeah.
You know what's up.
I think I even downloaded City Connection on the Wii back when it came out. If I'm not mistaken. Nice. Yeah, one of those. I can't remember if it was the Wii or the 3DS. I guess I could check my 3DS, but I mean, I have the NES card out of it somewhere around here.
Mr. Fancy over there.
I sold it along with my other ones for Sega Saturn, so.
Do I have a... I'm trying to remember if I have a, like, arcade port of it. I don't know. Maybe I will check it out on Hamster.
Yeah, get it in. It's worth your time, as you already know from having played it.
Yeah, I like City Connection. It's rad.
Cool. Well, it's $8 for the Arcade Archives version, or it is included with the NES Nintendo Switch Online app.
Your
official verdict.
I'd give it an obvious buy, though hearing what I said about it earlier shouldn't surprise you. But yeah, I do believe this game is worth your time and money. And it's like a nice little quick burst of arcade fun. I like
it. Definitely give it a chance, because it doesn't look like anything when you're actually looking at it. You're just like, what am I looking at? But you actually start playing it, and you're like, okay, yeah, no, this is great.
What is this, Mappy Land with cars? No, it's something else, but it's also fun.
And our friend Victor, who just donated the biddies, has played City Connection and was really excited that we talked about it. So there you go, nice. Pernell. We have listeners interested in our content for once in our lives.
Yay! I'll take
Come on now. Come on now.
Okay, there was this one time back in like 2018 that we had a good show.
Bandcamp.
There you go.
Yeah.
Bandcamp.
Much better.
We've had like 4 or 5 good ones. I can admit it.
Put a zero on it. 40 or 50.
40 or 50. That's still really shitty numbers when you think about it.
Wow.
Yeah, but I feel like we have 300. Let's go with 500. Fine. Boom. Bam. I was on at least 500 episodes. That is true.
Music this episode. Yeah. Pernell, what kind of music should we play to end this one?
I kind of want to... I don't know. There was that one OC remix track, if you end up finding it. It was dumb. It was Blaster Master Area 3 by Prozac. It's by Prozac. But look it up. And if you can't find it, like, whoop, I'm playing something else.
You know the name of it?
Nope. I kind of got suddenly hit with it. I was like, crap, I can't think of the name of it. I could probably give it to you before, like, in like 5 minutes. But if you got to play it immediately, then nope.
I don't need to play it immediately.
I can probably get to you in like 5 minutes. It could be a surprise. It'll be something I can find for you in like 5 minutes.
Is it Rocket or Through the Eyes of Tragedy?
Rocket. There it is.
All right, there we go. There's our music for the episode.
Love that track.
Very good. We are done. Thank you to you two for being here. Pernell, thanks for coming on, doing your thing. I know it's been a rough weekend for you. All of us love you and support you, and we are here if you need us. When we are not making dick jokes, obviously. Big thanks
to the one person, as the one other person that made it to the end of the show. I concur.
Big thanks to Brooke and Andy for coming on, doing their thing as well. One more thanks to Victor again for dropping another 100 biddies. Thank you so much, Pat. Love having you here. Thank you again for your support. We are done. We are finished. Pernell, give us some final words to end the episode.
If you're a smoker, stop fucking smoking. That's about the gist of it. Stop smoking.
I don't know why anyway I should have to tell you that, but you really should just stop smoking. Your body will thank you for it. And your loved ones might too. So, ta-da.
Ta-da. But it gives me this, like, smoky low voice.
You should really
but,
stop
smoking. But I like it. I think it makes me sound sexy.
Actually, that was pretty good.
that was a low voice.
Yeah, I mean, if I smoked and my voice sounded like that, I'd be kind of like, ah.
Hey, kids, this like is the one SM perk. Podcast. It's like
the one good perk is like, well, I'm going to die sooner, but you know what? Hear this voice. Then my voice, words coming out of my mouth. So it balances out, I guess. But then I'm gifted with a low, deep voice anywhere. I can just do it. I can turn it off and on like a faucet.
Yeah, you were born with it. With you, and it's not, maybe it's Maybelline, maybe it's Purnell.
That's right.
I don't know if that makes sense. Suck it, Maybelline.
No, it makes sense. That's why I said suck it, Maybelline.
Purnell-Belline?
Purnell-Belline.